And we are live on The Side Quest, your wonderful weekly journey into the wonderful world of video games. As usual, hosted by SideQuesting.com. I am Dolly Domofsky. You can find me at Dolly Domofsky. I'm just going to say that at the very beginning. That way I don't have to say it at the end. You can find us at SideQuesting and blah, blah, Twitch and YouTube. Obviously, you're watching one of these things. JJ, who are you, my friend?
Who knows anymore?
Who knows anymore? You're the JJ.
I'm the double J.
The double J. Welcome back on the show. It's good to have you on, my good man.
It's always fun.
I think we're gonna have a pretty decent episode today.
Yeah, you're not nice, gonna clean. You're not gonna curse yourself this time and say the other thing that you always say that always ends up being a lie.
Did not say it, and I definitely won't be saying it. Goodness, I'm even tweeting it out that I'm not cursing myself this time. It's good to have you on. We're gonna have a lot of fun, I think, tonight. I do. Okay, there's the curse. I said we're gonna have a lot of fun tonight.
We're not gonna have any fun. It's gonna be a dour, sad episode.
This is the Dollar General version of gaming podcasts.
Yeah, we'll talk about only Spiritfarer. That's
I'd want to if I played it yet. I haven't played it yet. I'm really looking forward to it.
It's on Game Pass.
Yeah, I know. Hey, Stefan, how's it going? Our good friend. We're just kicking things off. I'm drinking. I made myself a rum and orange juice because I needed the vitamin C and I needed the alcohol to get through the rest of this week because we're all tired as heck, ready.
I'm taking all of next week off.
Yes, you are. And stick tuned to Side Questing because we're going to have a new show next week that JJ and I are working on. I'm dedicating my time to it. It's going to be fun. Definitely in the spoopy spirit. So get ready.
I'm sitting down here playing with action figures as we're just
good. See, he's setting it up already. I love it. Oh, Mandalorian, that's coming in a couple weeks, actually. I think
It is.
So maybe next week. Probably. I wouldn't be surprised if it pops on there next week.
Yeah,
we'll see. They haven't given a date, have they?
I'm positive they did.
Oh, did they? Either way, it's in the next 2 weeks. You're getting the Mandalorian because there's only 2 weeks left in this month. So
yeah.
Good times. I'm excited.
I guess I can always look that up. We have computers in our pockets at all times now. It's
let's see. I'm trying to think of anything else. We're going to be joined by Zach at some point. So that's something, I guess.
October 30th.
There you go. So I will binge that entire freaking. There you go. Thank you, Stephanie. I'll say it as well. Thank you. You're going to be our official fact checker for tonight. Better than any fact checking and any debates and whatever today was. Apparently, there was something going on today.
The town hall nonsense that I would I would much rather be here than.
Yep. Much rather be here. And I'm glad everybody is here. My lights are a little bit off. I got to bring them a little bit closer, but whatever. Let's talk video games. I'm going to start this time because I always wait. I'm the gentleman and I wait. But this time I'm going first. I haven't been playing anything. Okay, next. No, really, I'm still plugging my way through Octopath Traveler. Played a little bit of that Minecraft Super Smash Bros. Try to get that going. And it's weird. Obviously, whenever a new character joins Smash Brothers, they're almost inevitably overpowered because they're trying to figure out how people will be utilizing online. And usually they get nerfed within one or two weeks or up. You know, the next update basically nerfs them. But Steve is quite a powerhouse right now, but so is Hero from the Dragon Quest series.
Yeah.
And I think Hero was like banned from certain competitions initially because he was just too overpowered. So that's that. Doing a little bit of the Animal Crossing Halloween stuff, so I'm trying to build up my spooky Halloween nightmare town going on that. And there's that Overwatch free trial going on the Switch, and I was curious to see how it translated. Yeah, it's free for the week. Might as well download it. I'm actually out of space on my Switch. I think I had a 4 gigabit card, which is completely filled up. Yeah. And now I've got to get myself, I'm looking at, like, I'm wondering, should I get a terabyte card, or yeah. should I wait until the Switch Pro comes out? Because who knows what will happen.
I mean, I have two Switches, so it's one of those things where I'm like,
you have a Switch and a Switch Lite? Is that what you got?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, so I could just, like, well, I like the big stuff I'll put on the Switch regular. Mm-hmm. That way I can, like, play, you know, I want to play Switch between, like, Mario and Zelda, and, like, all the smaller stuff I keep on the Lite, like all of the like, you know, anything that's like an indie game or stuff like that, I'll keep on the Lite, because that's mostly what I'm going to use it for, because the Lite is my travel one. Mm-hmm. and anything else, like, you know, Zelda is, or Mario or whatever, is on a card for me, so it doesn't really matter affect sure. too much. Yeah, the Zelda one has the DLC, but it's not huge. It doesn't take up a lot of the SD space,
which reminds me, I gotta get into the Breath of the Wild DLC. I haven't done that yet. That's my next goal. So yeah, that, and I'm actually playing Noita for on Steam, and I'll talk about that maybe next week. And then Second Extinction, I'm gonna talk about that next week. And I got Airplane Mode. I got a review code for Airplane Mode for Steam, which is you're literally on a 6-hour flight or something crazy like that.
It's the desert bus thing, right?
Yeah, like, it's the desert bus type of thing. And I think a lot of us are so – I haven't started it yet, but I specifically wanted to review that because I'm so used to traveling and flying that I miss flights in a weird way.
You just want to simulate sitting on a plane.
Exactly. Want to simulate being on a plane, simulate people farting on an airplane. You know, there is that smell. So –
all that nice recirculated air.
The recirculated air, exactly. You know what the person, if you're in the last row, last aisle, you know what the person in aisle two has been eating and drinking. So, I'm gonna give that a shot because I'm very curious to see how that experience goes. Again, in a world without travel, let's see how kids. Maybe I'll there you go, Seven. Maybe I'll have my daughter kick the back of my chair.
There you go. That would help. Yeah, really get the full experience. Get a glass of like Coke that is just a little bit too small to be enjoyable.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Monsieur Quest has, of course, takes a swig real quick. It's like,
doesn't even say hi. Just like, I got to get this in me real quick.
I was putting together a chair, so I'm kind of.
Oh, nice. Welcome, Zach, Mr. Quest, to the show at OK Quest on the Twitchers. And everywhere else. We were just talking about what we're playing. I'm going first because I always go last. I figure I'm going to go first this time. And I have been playing something. Shoot, I'm trying to remember what it was. Oh, my gosh. My Switch is over there. It's on Switch. You know, it's going to come to me later on. And I can't remember what it is now. It's the – there you go. The Kingdom Hearts Melody of – whatever is it called, Melody of Mayhem. I don't know what it is. It's the demo. I've been playing the demo, and I wanted to give it a shot before I, you know, went out and bought the game.
Yeah.
It is a good friend, Jay Jafer, Jordan's playing Valorant. I got to play Valorant. I have not started Valorant. I've got to give that a shot. But we'll see. Oh, by the way, Zach, it looks like you're in the TV right now. It's kind of cool. Nicely done. Melody of Memory. Thank you, Steph. Melody of Memory. So I'm going to be playing that a little bit more. I have actually, they give you like four songs. And it's two from the original Kingdom Hearts, one from Chain of Memories, and then one from, like, I don't know, Dream Drop Distance. I don't know, one of the other ones. And it's like a very basic Guitar Hero. It's literally the track coming at you, Trackmania style, and you're either just hitting one of like four buttons to either attack an enemy or to scoot out of the way, jump over it. I'm going to say this, and I say that a lot, I'm going to say this. It doesn't have the effect and the feel that the Final Fantasy Theater Rhythm games had, which those were pretty freaking phenomenal. It actually uses some graphical quirks that mimic those. Like, remember those games had sort of that 2D, like, almost, I don't want to say like Flash-ish, but they were like that really specifically style rendered characters in those 2D battle scenes and stuff. Like, you could tell that they use Kingdom Hearts versions of those characters, but only like loading screens. And everything else is 3D Kingdom Hearts, one level of animation. And it's a very basic. I tried, there's like three difficulty levels they give you. Easy, a beginner, hard, beginner, medium, and hard. And I tried all three, and it's not very difficult. It's just, you know, how many times you have to tap a button, or, you know, you can fly, Sora can fly, I guess. And it's not doing anything for me. And I love theater rhythm. I absolutely love the theater rhythm games. This does nothing for me because it's just, at least theater rhythm was sort of there was a quest kind of involved, and you leveled up characters, and there was sort of RPG-ish feel to it. There's nothing to this. It's literally, you're just playing through at least in this demo, you're just playing through songs. And I'm thinking, and it's nothing that's kind of interesting. I would have loved to actually try, you know, what is it actually like? I mean, is there some sort of story in this? Are there paths linked together?
Doesn't it have a story? I'm pretty sure it does have a story. I think that was like the thing, because like people are just deciphering the cover of it and stuff.
Sure it has some type of story to it, because anything Kingdom Hearts,
everything's canon.
Exactly. Kingdom Hearts Bubblegum is canon. Like between Bubblegum, you're thinking, okay, this is like an important part of Sora's story. I will, like, again, I'll get back to the actual mechanics, but I'm not a big fan of the mechanics of it because it's been tried and true, and it's been done before a million times. The theater rhythm mechanics, the side scrolling, I thought were awesome. So anyways, that's what I've been playing.
Does the game, like the final game, going to have like Disney songs in it too? I have no idea. Like,
I don't know. There were only Kingdom Hearts songs. Yeah. So like only songs native to Kingdom Hearts. I'd be curious. Maybe they're hopefully, but who knows? What are you playing, JJ?
That Fantasia game on the Xbox is cool as hell.
That's Disney Fantasia. I have it, and I'm trying to sell it.
nobody has a Kinect, so nobody wants
Nobody
it.
Has a Kinect. I have that, the Xbox One version of that game. It's funny. I'm trying to sell it for $2. Yeah. So if anybody out there wants it, I might just give it away as a contest. It's like the stupidest contest. Like, you can't sell these games anywhere. Yeah. They won't take it at GameStop. They won't take it at any like home owned place. So, yeah.
Like I would like to.
No secret ending plan. The melody of memory.
I would love to play that Fantasia again, but I have absolutely zero way. Like, I've got the 1X, and they don't sell those Kinect adapters anymore.
I have the original one with the Kinect that came for it, so which is useless. I think I had it plugged in for all of 2 months, and then in 2014, I think, because I got the first Xbox One in 2013, then got rid of it because I'd pivoted to PS4, and then I picked up another one like in March, and then I actually went through like two more because there were issues with it, like it busting, but I got the one with the Kinect, and I haven't used the Kinect since. All right, what have you been playing, JJ?
Just old stuff. Like, just when I say old stuff, I mean it's like I'm playing like Sega Genesis stuff again.
Okay, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
Although I did jump back. I've never gotten particularly far in Kingdom Hearts, and I have the collection of Kingdom Hearts one package because it was like $20, like at the end of the year last year or something.
Yeah,
like,
that's when I got it too.
Yeah, I'll get into it, and it's just like, as a Disney person, as the Disney person, I feel like I have to play through it, but it's always so hard for me to like get in it because it's just like, it's not Disney. It just happens to have Mickey Mouse and Goofy and all these cool universes and stuff in it, but also like, I could just be watching Aladdin. It's like,
which Kingdom Hearts game is supposed to be the good one? Is it the second one? I mean, I like the first one.
I know it's supposed to be two. Also, mostly because I know it has Tron in it, so it can't be all that bad.
Okay. I enjoyed the first one. That was a PS2, I think. I really enjoyed the first one because the idea was so simple and so pure. I should say not simple. The idea
simple
was
and clean. Pure
and clean, and there was nothing extra built into it. It's like, oh, cool. I get to go on these Disney worlds. I get to go here. And it started getting a little more convoluted. I never did the stupid jelly ship stuff in the first one because there was zero need to.
Gummy, thank you very much.
Gummy, thank you, not jelly gummy. So I never played the second one. I played the
Is the gummy thing
Game Boy Advance one though? I actually the Game Boy Advance one. I think that was
the card game. Yeah,
that was actually
Chain of Memories.
Chain of Memories. Yeah, yeah.
Is gummy supposed to be like a goof on gummy bears? Is that like the old Saturday morning cartoon? Is that what it's supposed to be? I don't know. It's Disney. Could be.
Okay, so Kingdom Hearts. Yeah, you're starting to get back into that because you're the Disney guy, of course.
Yeah.
I will say one thing, and we'll get into it today. I'm glad that that collection will function on PS5 because I don't have to get rid of a lot of my games. Anyways, anything else you've been playing, or is that just getting ready for what's coming?
because I don't really have much of a back catalog to like.
You're so lucky.
So it's like my back catalog is just like things that just are sort of nebulous anyways. Like I'm still playing Star Wars. I still like Squadrons. I think that's a fun game. I don't know how long it'll last, but for right now it's well worth the $40 I've paid for.
From July onward, August onward, I kept saying there are zero games for me to purchase unless they're new games. Oh, Stefan says two is nothing. Zero old games for me to purchase.
Yeah.
I can strictly focus on new ones. You know, I picked up, I had the Mario collection pre-order and I played that a little bit. I just kind of, cause I want to get through Sunshine eventually, which I never did. And ended up, I think came across what was the Persona-ish game that came out for the Wii U and then they redid it for Switch? Remember it was gonna be Fire Emblem meets
Tokyo Mirage.
So I picked it up, it was on sale for like $30 on Best Buy, and I'm like, "Oh crap! I'm gonna buy this just because you never know if it'll disappear forever because you can't find it anymore." Tokyo Mirage Sessions, and then, of course, never played it. Just pop the cartridge in and get the
get them sweet coins.
And then I got, I think I mentioned it last week, but I found Dragon Quest Builders 2 for the Switch, which again, that's one of those games you can't find anywhere in physical form. Best Buy is doing a clearance it was like $14.99. I played the first one. I really liked what it was doing. It was like Minecraft, but questing. Yeah. And I'm a huge Dragon Quest fan, which I still haven't gotten far into Dragon Quest 10 or 11. So picked that up and it's sitting in the wrapping over here for $50. And then, of course, the Prime Day junk was happening. And I realized, you know, I could see if there were zero games. Nothing that price wise was anything that I wanted because again we're in this nebulous pre next gen time. Why buy anything that's not already next gen? I ended up buying something. I bought for the Switch. I bought Outer World because I'd never played Outer World and I know it's available on Game Pass probably right.
Yeah.
I never played it. And the Switch version is the worst version out of
Yeah, I heard it runs like absolute shit on the Switch.
It runs like ass from what I keep hearing, but it's going to be delivered tomorrow, so we'll see.
I'm such a sucker for like those games that you've afterwards come to the Switch, like when they put like Wolfenstein 2 or whatever on there. It's like, okay.
Yep, and I liked Wolfenstein 2. I liked the original Doom. I'm still waiting.
Doom Eternal still coming to the Switch at some point. I'll be
a year after the DLC probably will come up. I would be surprised if Doom Eternal hops out. Like literally, Nintendo will have a direct next week, and they'll say Doom Eternal comes out next. Yeah, we're not gonna do a box copy anymore. We're just gonna
The DLC comes out next Friday, I think.
Yeah, next Friday.
Yep. So,
what else? There was, I know the Avengers is getting DLC soon. So, maybe already. I know it's just either now or just around the corner. And so, it's not adding the new characters yet, but it is adding new missions and stuff. Sure. So, anything to just, I do like that game, but it needs more.
Would they say like 1,000 people?
Yeah.
On Steam or something like that. Like, we're playing it, and that was it. So, anything else?
Avengers doesn't seem like the PC crowd kind of thing. That really does seem like that's a console boy game.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't need more communication. Yep. Hey, Greg Miller says forget the PCs anyways. So
yeah, true. kind of funny indeed.
Kind of funny indeed. By the way, guys, joining us live now is Greg Miller. So what, anything else you're playing?
A lot of Neo Geo stuff. Just
excellent. Good.
Just I love Neo Geo Fighters.
Are you playing a collection? Or are you playing one of the micro consoles or
various
micro consoles? Just all over the place.
Just various, because I have a couple of like you can get a they're constantly free on Amazon Games.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. I got all those. Yeah.
And I buy all the Limited Run does a series. They've been doing Shockbox series of all these re-releases of stuff. So I've got some King of Fighters and Metal Slug and Super Toon Collection and stuff like that. And it's just I have the arcade cabinet that they're putting out on pre-order. I think it's sweet, but it's I just want the aesthetics of it. I have pretty much everything that's in it.
My goal is to eventually get arcade cabinets. They actually had a bunch of them on sale for a couple on sale for half off of the new arcade 1-Up ones.
Yeah, they're hit or a miss. Don't get anything from the first series.
Yep,
they're
The Turtles in Time one is the one I really want.
Yeah, that one's I have the Asteroids one, which isn't that great. The spinner on it is it's got a click to it, which not a good way to do that. And the buttons are dip switches. They're clicky, you know, they've got that. Not a great, nobody likes playing arcade games that way. And then they fixed it later on. But I have the Ninja Turtles one and the Marvel Superheroes one. So
got it. Okay. Those are the two that I want. Those are the ones that I want. That's on my birthday.
I want the NBA Jam one real bad.
But. That would be awesome. Like I said, one of these days, my basement will have a few of these in there, and that'll just be the hangout place. So it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
And that one. That's it. Anything else?
That's it. Just simple stuff.
Quest, you've been playing some things.
Playing a lot of stuff.
Give us the rundown. Give us the rundown. I know one you've been playing that you've been really hyped up about.
Okay, I'll start with World of Warcraft, I guess.
Okay.
I'm playing that a lot. So they did a pre-patch, which is basically the lead into the next expansion. And what they did is finally, after 16 years, they changed the leveling experience. So now instead of so now the max level is level 50 instead of 120. And so if you started a new character, there's a whole bunch of new character options and stuff, which is really cool. But you get to level 10 and then you get to pick a zone where you want to level. Hmm. So you can pick any expansion zone, and that expansion story will take you from 10 to 50, which is max. So they squashed everything. Everything's a lot more simpler, but now because leveling isn't so stretched out, you get more stuff in between 1 and 50. So you feel like there's more progression. So just that small little fix a lot of that game. So I've been making new characters, leveling them up, having fun.
WoW is still around, man. WoW is still around.
Yeah, it's still around. It's on its third deathbed now, but it's still, kicking. Then RuneScape 3 came out on Steam, so I've been playing RuneScape a lot, which is one of the games I always play. So I've been playing RuneScape on the side on my second monitor while I do stuff.
That's awesome.
And then Baldur's Gate 3, I guess, is the big one.
I love the theme. It's all of these Warcraft, RuneScape, Baldur's Gate,
games from 20 years ago.
What year are we in again? What is it? 2001.
I also been playing Pathfinder Kingmaker, which is a computer RPG based off the Pathfinder system.
Yeah.
So I've been playing that because I want more computer RPGs to play. Because I've been playing Baldur's Gate 3, and it's amazing. I'm just completely hooked on it, but it sucks because there's not going to be more content to come out. It's going to be slowly drip fed to us, but they've been really good about fixing stuff. But yeah, so I'll just talk about the game. What the game is super cool. I've been playing it with a friend.
You've been streaming it. It's cool.
Yeah. So I have a friend I've been playing a campaign with, and then I have a single player thing I've been doing all by myself. And yeah, it takes the 5e system, which is what it's based off of, the latest D&D system, and makes it not as So the system has an issue where things don't feel as strong as it should be, but they've tweaked it to where things feel good and feel strong enough. Like, I'm playing a Warlock in both of my games, and with Eldritch Blast, I can take a feat that lets me push people with that blast and has like a 60-foot like reach. So there's people who are like by like cliffs. I'll just like Eldritch Blast and they'll whee, I'll just like fall off cliffs, and like so that's really fun. Or I'll have like my wizard like lay down a ray of ice, so then I'll Eldritch Blast them onto the ice. So they have to make two roll checks to see if they stay prone or if they trip on the ice. And then if you do that on like a slant on like stairs or like a slope, they have to roll again on difficult terrain. Then if they miss that, they like slide down the stairs. So there's a lot of like fun stuff you can do, and it's like it's even more fun with a friend because you're just trying to mess with each other and also like trying not to like lose at the same time. Mm-hmm. So you're like, I'm gonna put ice here, so they have to walk across the ice, but then they fall, and then like. And then the game, and then they die. Like, okay, let's restart the save. So it's just like it's just really fun to have a friend that you just like mash stuff out with and figure it out. But yeah, besides all the systems and stuff, it just like it looks gorgeous. Like it's a very beautiful game. The cutscenes are really well made. Mm-hmm. The setting is really cool too. It's a really like grim, dark, more setting of fantasy, which you don't get to see a lot in D&D now. D&D is pretty much kind of like always kind of happy. Mm-hmm. But this one's like mind flayers, and like the opening cutscene, this mind flayer puts like a tadpole in your eye, and it's like a first person view. You see this tadpole like go in your eye here, like,
oh wow, oh, good lord.
and then you like make your character, and then it's like you and like all these other people, and like the people who aren't strong enough, their heads explode, and there's like blood everywhere, and you're just like, it's really sick. And then you're going through this ship that's like crashing and being controlled by a bunch of mind flayers being attacked by dragons and stuff. And you're going through, and there's like people like hanging off the ceiling with their brains like hanging out and stuff. Normal. And it's so sick. It's so cool.
That's awesome.
Like the way they show like the mind flayers like controlling the ships is really neat. There's like these like tentacles are like wrap, and they like flick the tentacles and like controls where the ship goes and stuff, and they're like hopping through different dimensions, and it's so it's so crazy. It's like I saw someone describe it as a Michael Bay fantasy movie, which is kind of true, but there's actual substance to it, because when you get into the story parts, there's like five or six different options that you can pick. Mm. And then depending on who your character is, they have other options that they can use. Like in my single player playthrough, my guy is a medic. He has that training, and I was able to take a brain out of someone's head, and it became like my pet. It like grew legs, because that's what those things like in this world, when brains come out of the bodies, they like sprout legs and they can attack and stuff. So I had like a minion that's a brain.
Nice.
But then in my friend and I's playthrough, he failed the check and the guy just like died. so there's a lot of cool stuff that happens like that. And it's really fun, especially because it's hard to go back. Cause it's like you make a decision, you're like, okay, I guess I gotta live with that. Like my friend and I, we were playing, and there's this like druid cult that's about to sacrifice a kid, and he failed a intimidation check, and the kid died, like straight up, just killed. Wow. I was like, uh-oh. So I guess we're gonna have to figure that out, because we were like going into the camp, and there's like a mom crying, like, I gotta save my kid. They're gonna sacrifice him to blah blah blah. So they need to sacrifice the kid to this god to like help stop this these goblin like raids. But then you go and you fail the intimidation check, and the kid dies before being sacrificed to stop the goblin raid. So it's like a 2-for-1. It's like, okay, both sides are screwed now. So now I got to deal with like, yeah, it's just like super cool. There's a really awesome situations that they put you in, and it allows for like you and your friends to like fight, like get mad at each other. Like, why would you choose that? Cause like at the end of the day, the person who initiates the cutscene gets the initiative to choose what's said. So like you and your friends are fighting, like, okay, I'm going to go in there. Like, no, I'm going to go there. So you're both running, trying to get to the person to start the cutscene. Yeah, it's super cool. There's that. And then they mention in one of their like dev logs, like there's a character in there who's a vampire, and they're going to make it to where he'll randomly select a person in the party to become a vampire during your playthrough. So then that player, only they'll know in like the multiplayer session, only they'll know they're a vampire. So at night when you're camping, your friends get to watch you walk around camp. And like they get, and so you get to like maybe buy one of them, maybe not, maybe like feed on them and stuff. So like they're just gonna add a bunch of things that's like really cool for you to like mess around with your friends and have like a very radiant type of story, which is super cool because I think Larian can do it. They've proven they've been able to do it before. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited to see what they do with it. Because they've changed and added things in the first week that people were saying that needed to be fixed. So, yeah. And if you crit, I don't think there's crit fails on, where it's like you crit fail and something bad happens. It's just like crit fail and nothing happens. Mm-hmm. But I hope they make it to where it's like you crit fail and you fuck up like really bad. I hope they really add that because it would just add a whole different layer to it.
Nice.
And yeah. And they have like Twitch integration. So if like you're a streamer, you can have your fans vote for what you say and stuff. And like, that chick right there in the cutscene, mm-hmm. she breaks off from the group in one part of the story in the act one. And my friend and I, we found her. And there are these two tieflings, like, she's a monster, we need to kill her. And like the obvious response is, well, yeah, let's kill these tieflings to save our friend. But my friend and I are like, hey, let's just kill her and just like pretend to be friends with the tieflings. So we killed the main character and it let us do it. Like she's just
a mind flayer things that they're talking about.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he's gonna put it in her eye.
Nice.
So everyone who has these mind flayers kind of have this like psychic connection, like that they all is like intrinsically.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh my lord. Oh,
but yeah, I just killed her. So like, I'm curious to see what happens in the story because she's like really important. Like she's a pretty big character, but I'm just like, she's
how dead. Does that mess up the story? That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, and then here's you going right in your eyeball.
That looks terrific. Very cool. Very cool.
It's super, super sick. Oh, and like the character creation is like amazing. It's like, there's like, you can see like people's like spots on their face and like the way the light reflects off of like darker skin and lighter skin is just
character really creation crazy. Over the last like 2 months has taken over my Twitter timeline from this. I think there's Crusader Kings has some insane character. There's like all kinds of crazy character creation stuff that people are posting.
Dude, just look at that, man. It's like,
it's cool.
It's great, and it's so fun to play too. Mm-hmm. Like it, if you're familiar with pen and paper games, it just feels like exactly like a really good campaign that you can play by yourself, which is how these games should feel. A lot of computer RPGs kind of move away from that, make it more gamey. But this, like, I like seeing the dice rolls. I like seeing the failures pop up. I like seeing the crits pop up. I like seeing the range and like measuring things and it's
unbelievable to me how far they've stretched the Dungeons and Dragons hype. Like this is what I think it's like Forgotten Realms level of Dungeons and Dragons and there are, you know, kudos to D&D for the producers there for being able to come up with a world system that's so expansive from pen and paper where it started to, video games that a lot of people don't even know that these are even related to Dungeons and Dragons. It's just,
right.
It's just, you know, oh, there's dragons and there's dungeons in these, to like movies that you wouldn't even believe are Dungeons and Dragons, to book series, to toys, to food. I mean, we talked about like how, you know, everything is canon in, what was it, a second ago we were joking around
Kingdom
about.
Hearts.
Yeah, Kingdom Hearts canon. This is like, everything is canon here, but it's done so, like, expertly. There, it's
watch
just,
this.
It's, oh, God, it's so cool. Oh,
so sick.
Kudos to them. That's for sure. That's for sure.
Yeah. Oh, dude, so sick. This is a opening cutscene. Oh yeah, it says it right there in the title.
Yep.
Yeah, it's
so cool again.
Yeah, it's crazy that Dungeons and Dragons is literally like video games. Like it's the system that runs every game ever.
Every RPG, every fantasy based RPG, which eventually became sci-fi, but every RPG out there is, you know, Dungeons and Dragons. It's crazy.
I'm just so obsessed with it. Like it's a game that I think about every day. I've thought about it since it came out. I was like, man, this game is so cool. Mm-hmm. And I'm just excited. Like my friend and I, we played to where part one, act one ends, that they're calling it. And we're just like, and we're just talking about like theory crafting. Like, man, I can't wait till we do this, till we get to this level and I get this feat and I can do this. And it's crazy. I just can't wait for like the next years that keep adding to it.
It's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. Anything else you've been playing besides Baldur's Gate 3 and everything else you talked about? RuneScape 3, Pathfinder, Kingmaker.
Oh yeah, Pathfinder, Kingmaker, man. That game is really cool. It's kind of the same thing like we just said, but it's more of a traditional fantasy setting. Like, hey, this lady needs you to go take this land, and if you can take it over from the bad guys, you get to be a king. And I mean, it's called Kingmaker. It's like the whole like central idea though is like you become the king and then you have to run it. So it's like a pen and paper campaign about you running a kingdom. And the Pathfinder system I enjoy more than the D&D system. But yeah, it's super neat. And that game was a Kickstarter game.
Yeah,
it came out in like 2018. And they just re-released it, like they remade it. They added like a turn-based mode, and then it's gotten like 5 updates this week. Like they just keep adding stuff to that game too.
Awesome. And
that game's like a couple hundred hours long, so I've just kind of been slogging through. But yeah, I've been playing the Pokemon card game a lot too.
Oh, which was that one? Which just the actual physical cards?
No, it's the
mobile one, or like the tablet one, or the online computer one.
Yes, yeah, it's the one on the computer, which is So I've been playing that.
That's fun. I'm proficient enough in Pokemon trading card games still that I can pop in.
Is this on their website? How you play it?
Yeah, you just download it off of their webs.
Yeah, there's an iPad app for it too.
So. Okay, I remember the iPad app version. Okay,
packs of cards come. Like, if you buy a physical pack of cards, you get a digital pack of cards and stuff. So
buy a physical pack and you put it into the game and you get more. Mm-hmm. And so I've been like making decks, playing and stuff. I'm really into card games. I like, I've been playing Yu-Gi-Oh a lot too, and playing Magic a lot. Like that's just what I do.
I play,
but yeah, I've been playing. Yeah,
growing up it was Pokemon and the old Star Wars collectible card game from the what was that, late 90s, early 2000s? Yep. Like late 90s. It had to be late 90s. Boy, that's lost to time by now.
The thing about the Pokemon card game that blows my mind, it has the ugliest art, like just designs, you know, it is so ugly.
As they've gotten more extravagant, they've gotten worse. So
it's like the Pokemon themselves, like the Pokemon themselves and the cards look fine. It's like, these look gorgeous, but like the actual app, how everything's designed, the characters are horrendous. They're ugly. They're so bad. But I guess it's what they decided to appeal to kids. I don't know, but
they just keep like adding like, you know, textures and stuff to it that look like make it worse. And you're just like, what? I'm assuming it's gotta be I don't know who makes the, who's involved in that. Is it the Pokemon company?
I would assume so.
I think it is a Pokemon company. Yeah,
because it's clearly Nintendo has no hand in this.
Yeah, I'll post a little screenshot in the Discord or in here. It is so disgusting looking. Yeah.
It's got a bad UI, but it's
but it's playable, is what you're saying.
So. Once you get in the game, everything's like, you know, fine. But
it feels really good to play. It's like it's surprisingly way smoother than any other like computer card game. So they have that going for them at least.
Excellent. All right. Well, let's get in a little bit of the news right here, only because we're going to be swapped with games. I hate to say we're going to be swapped with games because everyone's still like waiting for big games to drop, and everything's kind of coming now in that same week span of that week in November is going to be bonkers. It's going to be horrifically bonkers because a little bit of the news here. There isn't a ton of news, but I'll just kind of throw through some stuff.
That's a big link.
Yeah, there's one of the things that I did want to touch was on PlayStation saying that here is the list of games that actually aren't compatible on the PS5, and it's like every game that you don't care about. There's like what, a handful of games, like 7, 8, 9, 10 games at most that just don't function on the PS5. Everything else seems to work on the PS5 pretty well.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of a cool thing because all those games that you own, physical or digital, everything will function on PS5, which is really nice. Which is really nice because I think that's something that a lot of us look forward to, backwards compatibility. So we weren't sure what Sony was going to do with backwards compatibility because they were being very vague about
it. We knew what wasn't going to be there, basically, which was everything else.
And so now we know, okay, cool. PS5 backwards compatibility is...
The Xbox backwards compatibility sounds great.
Xbox backwards compatibility.
Yeah.
The way it uprises, the way everything it does, I think, is pretty freaking all the way back to the original Xbox.
Yeah.
I mean, you pop one of those Jade Empire discs in there or whatever, and it'll work. And they even announced, I think today they announced, here's their launch lineup. Obviously you have games like Valhalla and the Borderlands update, but, they've announced, the biggest game of all, which is Cuisine Royale. It's a lot of these games that are coming over to Xbox, and I mean, obviously PS5 as well, but a lot of these are Xbox specific. Gears 5 is going to be, on Game Pass, and it's going to be optimized, right? There's all these games that are optimized. I'm reading through this list here. Gears Tactics, Grounded, the NBA 2K, the current gen is actually going to be optimized for next gen, and then there's a whole next gen version coming up.
I would assume, like, because, like 2K20 is on PC. Like, it better be stinking optimized right now.
It better be optimized. Yeah. So there's a pretty decent list of games here.
Did anybody play Grounded? Did anybody play Grounded?
No, not yet.
I tried a little bit of Grounded. It's okay. It's not anything. It doesn't make you feel like you're doing a Honey, I Shrunk the Kids as much as I want it to.
So there's good list. No, that's the list of the. The optimized games, which look better. They're all regularly playable without any optimization. Again, their whole backwards compatibility, they've been really transparent about, which, again, fantastic work by the team at Microsoft. They learned their lesson from the launch of the Xbox One, and they never recovered from the launch of the Xbox One in that generation. No. The Series X, they came out firing and said, hey, here's every card we have on the table. And we're playing with these cards, but our strategy is important. And so kudos to them. You can play everything that you – basically everything that you want, that you own, that you love on the Xbox will essentially function on the Series.
None of the marketing for either system has involved stuff outside of video games. Like,
yes.
Nobody is saying, like, you can hook it up to your cable box like the Xbox One was doing and shit like that. Like, everyone's just like video games and like Xbox
is
like
you can play Netflix. I think it's because every single person out there now, like everybody owns, has Netflix, has Disney Plus. That's no longer a selling feature. The media stuff is TVs. I mean, if you're buying a 4K TV, You're going to have all that stuff basically built in.
It's funny to see how much, because remember how much of a big deal they were pushing of like, you'll be able to like sync it up to your cable and you can use it as your cable box and it has stuff. It's like, and now like within a few short years, it's like, I don't even have cable. So what the fuck good is that to anybody?
Doesn't matter anymore. And that's really ultimately what kind of helped put the some of those media nails in that coffin.
The Switch doesn't even have like Netflix. Like
no, it has Hulu.
It has Hulu and like I think YouTube.
Hulu, YouTube, and I think Crunchyroll is on there as well. Yeah. But and then like a bunch of different comic reading apps. But yeah, no Netflix. Again, I don't think you. Think you really need
it's
it.
Fine. Have it's it on fine. Your phone. It's built fine. There isn't a TV that you could buy now that doesn't have it built in some way, shape, or form. Like
there's a TV or device. Like all of us have these stupid. I mean, I think my watch even has like Hulu on it. For all I know, it's no longer a necessity. Yeah. So don't bother. It's not a marketing feature unless it was something completely wild and crazy that was amazing. But
unless like Sony like. We brought back PlayStation View, and it's included with or whatever. Like,
Powers Season 3.
There you go. Sony showed off their PS5 user interface video. We've been seeing what the Xbox has been planning for a while. In fact, the Xbox UI is available on current Xbox Ones, like some variation of it. But the PS5 UI is our first time seeing it. It's definitely sort of an evolution based on
it's still the cross media bar thing. Yeah,
it's now they're really
the PS3 and the PS4 combined.
Good point.
None of them have blades like the old 360. So who cares?
I will still say this: the fact that the cross media bar was a cool idea initially. And I remember it on the PS3 now, and then I thought, oh, it's going to be really cool on the PS4. I still hate, and the Switch has this problem too, and to the Xbox to some extent. I want to see all of my stinking, I just want to see all of my apps all at once. That's one thing Nintendo did right with the Wii U. Don't quote me on that.
Yeah.
With Wii U, the PS, the Sony, the Vita was, you know what? Here it is. Here's all the icons. Here's what phones do. You just want to get to the games you have and scroll. Arrange them however you want to make folders. But here you go. And they've all sort of abandoned that right now. You have to pin games to home screens.
Well, I mean, at least the PlayStation 4 has folders, and you can name them. And like, you know, I have my fighting games, I have my VR games, and I have the stuff. But the Switch not having any of that is such a like it was really like good on the 3DS, like the way the folders and stuff worked, and the way you can like zoom in and zoom out and move tiles around and stuff. It was
and the way you can kind of you can put the stupid Mario stickers that you'd win from that drop game.
That claw machine thing with the
it was such a cool idea. It's like, wow, I can actually accessorize the themes.
The 3DS really just did a lot of like cool, stupid
Nintendo pass.
Yeah, Nintendo Pass play of all those Street Pass games where it's like tend your garden and stuff. And
the 3DS was Nintendo's best social console from that standpoint. Like you could do just the silliest things. It was the most Nintendo console, Nintendo device out there. I think
there was something enjoyable about going to PAX and having to constantly clear your Street Passes.
Green light pops
getting all your puzzle pieces and getting
for all me, your, I. Like you go to the bathroom and then you're sitting on the toilet for like 20 minutes going through Street Pass because you're just kind of clearing all the stuff.
Yeah,
and all those puzzle pieces.
Yeah, and while you're doing it, like the light's going off again because you're making your space. Again, I loved it. That was stupid stuff, but I absolutely loved it. It was really fun little that kind of stuff works on me. So,
Same here. Same here.
Yeah.
And another really weird one here. we talked about Microsoft coming to GameStop's rescue last time, but they're a portion of Microsoft's digital revenue is going to be shared with GameStop for every like Xbox digital purchases. Some weird little portion is going to go there. I don't know the full details of it. And I don't even think that those have been released, but essentially it's a multi-year partnership for however long GameStop lasts.
One month.
Yeah, one year. But part of their digital revenue for games sold is going to go to GameStop from Xbox. So
yeah,
really bizarre.
Well, Reggie is just doing what he can do to keep that company afloat. Yeah.
Amazon cancels Crucible finally for the second time. They finally said,
I feel bad for the people that just like, you know, had their lives just like upended by like pumping out this game that launched and then had to get unlaunched and then just to have it be like, well,
that game even had like a huge influencer like stream like session thing, like and it still failed. Like it just wasn't good.
And it was just another one of those games. I mean, there was nothing that set it apart. No, I mean, Amazon has not had luck with their game franchise that they've been trying. I'm trying to think of anything
clearly,
else.
There was it's that... clearly a market that's just like out of their reach. Yes. Yeah. Yep. It's just.
Good on Sega celebrating its 60th anniversary by releasing quirky games, some of which were made under incredible crunch situations. I know they're releasing a bunch of these kind of little demo games. I think the first one is out right now. It's kind of a fun celebration of Sega's 60 years. They have Endless Zone, which is the Fantasy Zone kind of rip. Mm-hmm. Comes out tomorrow, I think. Streets of Kamurocho, which is basically like Streets of Rage and Yakuza.
It's Streets of Rage 2 with Yakuza characters.
Yep. Needed that correction. Armor of Heroes, which is a Company of Heroes. And that's out today. And then Golden Axe, which was going to be a Golden Axe reboot. That started getting work done, and then it got axed. But oddly enough, if you read there were a couple of folks that worked on the game. I think Tim Dawson and I forget the other Mishra Santana worked on the game under. Basically, they had 2 weeks to come up with something, and they created this bloodier version of Golden Axe that was meant to be sort of a pitch.
A pitch, yeah.
It didn't go anywhere. Yeah. So it's like, hey, Sega's like, here, just, you know, here, we're going to call it Golden Axe, and they put it out there. I mean, neither of these designers knew that this was going to happen and weren't credited with it or anything, so.
That's, yeah. I mean, that part sucks, but I do like, I don't know, being able to peek in the archives once in a while is fun. So like there's, cause you know, there's more of this kind of nonsense floating around. That would be fun to see. I mean, like,
you know, about it, you know, with Nintendo, give us that stupid Mario 128 demo that was out there.
Yeah. It's like, cause every once in a while, there'll be like, you know, this was the original pilot for, you know, Blazing Saddles series that never got made or, you know, they're never aired on TV or whatever. It's like, you know, they're that stuff exists and like it's they own it. Like, yeah, those creators created it in like in terrible conditions, but like it is Sega's, they can do whatever.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, that's true. Yep.
It's like, it's not saying that's a good thing. I'm just saying that's the unfortunate truth. And yeah, like there's no, they're always they always protect this stuff too much. There's very rarely like interesting. Like, I would like a nice Sega like book of like an art book of just like, here's all the weird shit that we were working on like throughout the 60 years that never saw the light of day or
whatever. That's what we talked about, you know, when there was that big Nintendo Mega League. We thought, you know, this is the kind of stuff that we'd love to see Nintendo bind
like
up
when
in
that
book.
Like when they leaked that what was it, they were doing a Mario sports game that was like wrestling mixed with something else. Like yeah, I don't remember what it was, but it was like, yeah, it was like a Mario sports game that where they were all dressed as professional wrestlers, and there was just some minor art out of it and stuff. And I was like, give me more of that. Nintendo doesn't release anything fun.
They don't. They don't.
Just like, you can't buy soundtracks. You can't stream anything. Like, their books are just the most, like, you know, the Hyrule Historia isn't, outside of the timeline, it doesn't really peek behind the curtain very much. Half of it's a strategy guide for the first half of Skyward Sword. You know, it's, you know,
or they release the soundtrack and it's got five songs and two are remakes.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, kudos to Sega for putting this stuff out there. I'd love to see more of it. Sucks that it was, you know, it's the guys were credited for it. But we, you know, we even said, you know, Nintendo could do something stupid like this and put out. I do like the timed release, I should say.
Yeah.
Here, give me the everyone wants to play NES Remix again because those are actually pretty badass. One and two. Give me one NES Remix game per you know per week for 52 weeks because there were there were like what 100 plus of them. Just give me one thing for a week and let me mess around with it. So
yeah, remember when what was it the DS or the 3DS like the DSiWare or something like they released individual Clubhouse games from those. They like, just kept pumping it like here's one of the Clubhouse games. Here's there one of, here's an, here's yeah here's the Moncala Clubhouse game. Here's the Darts Clubhouse game. Just like yeah okay.
And last but not least, I'll get this last bit of news out here because we're going to make this under an hour. Damn it. We got 4 minutes to go. Do you guys see that Monster Hunter trailer? It's got monsters. And it's
yeah. Got Flaming it looks really swords. It looks like a Paul W.S. Anderson movie. Certainly.
Yep.
It looks like one of his and movies, Marvel but Battle. Not his and not his one good movie, which is Event Horizon.
Event Horizon, yeah.
Well, there we go. It's coming out in December.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, they might be ballsy enough to just put it out in December because they're probably not expecting to make a ton of money out of it, but whatever. Who knows? With that, that's it. Let's pack it up. We're going to get this. We got 3.5 minutes left. You can find us at sidequesting.com. I'm at Dolly Domofsky. JJ, where can we find you?
Twitter, the_double_J, DisneyCompendium.com, all of the fun, exciting Disney stuff and movie reviews and things. And a podcast just came out yesterday of that wrestling show I was telling you about.
Oh, cool.
Live play wrestling podcast on Hogcast SD is the Twitter handle for it. We had a special guest in Alec Robbins who does the Mr. Boop comic on Twitter if you've ever seen it. So that's very fun and it's a very funny episode and I introduce a new wrestling character that is terrifying. So
this sounds awesome. This sounds awesome. We'll check it out. It's on Hogcast SD. Okay.
Yep.
Zach, where can we find you, Mr. Quest?
Find me at Twitter at OKQuest, and that's pretty much it.
Excellent. We'll find you toiling away in the world of Dungeons & Dragons, and it's all many iterations. And we want to thank everybody again, do all the rate, review, all that fun stuff, and we will see you next week on the next episode of The Sidequest. Bye.
See you.
Charges kill my head.